Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Okay, let's come to the Word of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we want to thank you that as we come to your words, we ask that you speak powerfully to our hearts because, Lord, you are so good. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. I want to ask you this morning, this question, that you, am I a healthy soul? Is my soul healthy? One day, a lawyer came and he asked Jesus a question. The question he asked Jesus was, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So Jesus said the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, because the heart is the place where God resides. The heart is a place where we invite Jesus to come in. Then Jesus said, don't only love God with your heart, you must love God with all your soul. The soul, that is the seat of one's emotion. That is the center of your personality, that God has given us emotion. So say, not just love God with your heart, but love God with your emotion. And we know that the emotion part of us is on the right side of the brain. But then God say this, not just love me with your emotion, love me with your feeling, but also love me with your what? With your mind, which is your understanding and your intellect, which is on the left brain side. So God want us to love him with feeling, say amen. But he also want to love him with what? Understanding. And this is how God wants us to love him. To love him with our heart, with our left brain, and with our right brain. You know, because sometimes it's so easy to have our heart pumping. How many of our hearts is pumping? If you're not pumping, you're in trouble. Our heart may be pumping, but there's something that is lacking. There is our feeling. But God said, love me with your emotion, with your feeling. This is what it's like. My wife and me, we went to David Jones for shopping. You want to make your wife happy? Bring her go shopping. Then she looked at a dress. She looked at it. She put on the dress. And now she say, don't you think this dress looks nice? There is what? There is feeling. She feels it looks nice. You know, women feel. But men what? Think. So when she asked me, don't you think this dress looks nice? Now I use my left brain, the thinking side. And what does the thinking side do? He look at the price. And then the thinking side say, it looks nice. But the thinking side is smarter. Tell the wife, why don't you wait for what? Sales. And then the day come when the sales come, and now she put on the dress. That's the feeling again. Now she wear it as the same dress because it's on sale, and it looks what? It looks nice. So she feels. But what does the left brain of the husband say? What does he say? No, buy, sister. That's been very generous. It's on sale. The left side of the brain of the husband said, why don't you wait for a further 30% discount? I mean, this is how. So sometimes it's easy for us to love God without feeling or without thinking. But God said, I want you to love me with your heart, with your soul, and with your mind. And this is one of the most important things that we are afraid of, is that we don't take care of our soul. Soul care is important. Taking care of our soul, our emotion. You know, and if you want to be totally well, if you want to be totally well in terms of your health, you need to take care of your body. Say amen. You need to take care of your emotion, your soul, and you need to take care of your what? your spirit. It's only when you take care of your body, soul, and spirit, then you can experience total health. But to some of us, when we talk about the soul, the emotion, we get frightened. We may think, if you are from the old schools where I come from, we may think that when you use the word soul, it's so unspiritual and unscriptural, because we don't want to become so emotional or so soulish. You see, some of us may be brought up in that area where your emotion, your feeling should be pressed down. But we have the other extreme today. The other extreme where soul becomes everything. You know, where they live just to satisfy their soul, their emotion, their feeling. And they have this, I please my soul, I satisfy my soul, I love my soul. And when you have this extreme, it becomes what? Self-love. That's not what God wants us. God wants us to have a healthy soul and healthy emotions. Say amen today. David, in the Bible, understand about his emotion. He understand about his feeling. He understand about his soul. He said this, that there's an ongoing battle within my soul. You know, and then he talked to his soul. He speak to his soul. He instruct his soul how his soul should respond. And sometimes he demand to his soul, soul, be quiet. Soul, submit to God. Wow. David was a man who knows about soul, about emotion, about feeling. But he learned one thing, that no matter how he feels or no matter what emotion he has, he must always subject himself to a higher authority, and that is Jesus Christ. Because in our fallenness, we have more negative emotion than good emotion. How many realize that? So David understand that. And so David, sometimes he cried. You know, in the book of Psalms, he used to cry, my soul will boast of the Lord. So when David used the word my soul, what was he talking about? He was talking about my life, my soul, my emotion, my feeling, my life will boast of God. And I tell you, you cannot boast of God without your soul. You cannot boast of God without your emotion. You cannot boast God without your feeling. When you worship God, you need your soul. Say amen. You see, but some of us are afraid of our emotion, afraid of our soul. David, one day he said to himself, why are you cast down, O my soul? One day he said, praise the Lord, O my soul. One day he tell himself, I have still and quiet my soul. Because sometimes our emotion gets up and down, and sometimes we need to come to a place where we say, be still, O my soul. And I tell you, it's very powerful when you take your hand and press against yourself and say, be still, quiet, silent. Rest in God. When Jesus come into our heart, the Bible said that he give us a new one, a new heart, and he put his spirit in us. But one place he has never give us, he has never give us a new mind. Say amen. He never give us a new mind, because the mind and the soul and the feeling and the emotion is very tied up. So what happened when Jesus gave me a new heart and he put his spirit in me? This is what happened to you, that your soul is going through renovation. How does your soul goes to renovation? It's when you use the word of God to renew what? Your mind. As you allow God's word to take first place, to take authority over your feeling, over your mind, as you subject your soul, your feeling to the word of God, God is renovating you. God is changing you. You know, and it's so important for us to recognize that sometimes when our soul, when our emotion, when our feeling gets haywire, we need to stand still and say, be still, O my soul. Peace to my soul. Because the word that speaks out of your mouth has power over your soul, over your emotion, over your feeling. So, an area that the Bible talk about in 3 John verse 2. If this is your greatest fear and you have a misunderstanding about the soul, then look at 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way, and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keep well and prosper. If you want to have a healthy soul, have a healthy body. Because the Bible tells us that as your body is keep well, so is your soul. You know, we must always understand that this body is what? It's the temple of the living God. Whose responsibility to take care of this body? Whose? You. And of course, if you have a good wife, she helps you by cooking what you can eat and what you cannot eat. You know, so you have, the Bible is quite clear that if you want to have a healthy soul, a healthy emotion, if you want your soul to prosper, make sure you take care of your what? Of your body. Because when your body is sick, it affects you. It affects you. So, John beloved say, hey, I want you to prosper in your body. I want you to keep your body well as your soul is kept well and prosper. And so when we think about this word prosperity, many times we think of it as an outward expression. But the Bible tells us that true prosperity is not possession, it's not achievement or riches. Rather, it's the condition of your inner world, of your soul. That true prosperity is when your soul, your feeling, your emotion is in touch with the living God. That is true prosperity. Because I'm telling you, people are spending more time about the outward and not caring about the soul, the inward. You go to Myers, you go to David Jones, you go to all the shopping centers. What do they take care of? The outward. You want to take care of your inside? Go and see Pastor Kara. Because all the money is spent is on the outward. Because people take care of the outward and neglect the inside. And they don't realize the outward can never make you happy without the inside in order with God. Let me tell you, a man was building a yacht. He was a rich man, so he built the yacht. And when he built the yacht, he wants to make sure that the yacht he's built is the most beautiful yacht. So money was never the problem. He wants to make sure that, you know, the toilet seat is gold. You know, the hand rail is gold. So he makes sure that he uses the best material and the most expensive material on the yacht that he built. And when people look from outside, man, that yacht is state of the art. It's such a beautiful yacht that everybody look at it and they are attracted. Look at this yacht. Nothing is spared. The best is given to the yacht. So everybody was impressed. But one day, the yacht has to make her maiden voyage. One day, the yacht that has been sitting in the shipyard has to what? Come down into the water. And when the yacht came down in the water, Everybody that was looking at it said, what a beautiful yacht. That's what many people does. They do everything for the outward so that everybody can say, what a life. What's so beautiful about this person? But the trouble was this. As this yacht was going out into the water, as he went further and further in the water, the yacht one sank. The yacht sank. The yacht sank. It shocked everybody. Then when they salvaged the yacht, they discovered one thing. For the yacht to balance, you need the ballast rate below, the weight below, so that the yacht, is it ballast rate? Keel. Thank you, sister. She used to draw about boats. To balance that, this yacht, you know. And so he spent so much money, so much time out on what people can see, that he forgot what people what? Cannot see. I want to encourage you. Spend money, spend time, spend energy on what people cannot see. When we talk about our soul, another expression is called the garden of your soul. So this morning, is your soul a water garden or a dry desert? Is your soul a sailing, floating yacht or a sinking yacht? Is your soul prosper or bankrupt? Is your soul healthy or unhealthy? I said, how we need to love God with the area of our soul, with the seat of our emotion, with the feeling that God has given us, so that our emotion is not dry and bankrupt. So it does not become mechanical when we express our love to God and or to one another. We just finished the World Cup. If you have watched the World Cup at the stadium, I'm sure there are Christians there. How many of you believe there are Christians there? Sure there are maybe Christians there. Look at the way they shout. Look at the way they cheer. Look at the expression of their emotion. But I'm telling you, the same Christian, when he comes to church on Sunday, can be as quiet as a mouse. I think what we need to do, folks, is we need to be bold about expressing our love for God, expressing our emotion to God. Say amen to that. That God did not make us as a bottle with a cap. God opened the cap so that the joy of emotion, the joy of gladness can flow out of us. That when it flows out of us, it's able to impact and touch other people around us. So when I look at the Bible, there are two examples in the Bible that shows that they have a very healthy soul. And I must say that the two examples that I have is the two women in the Bible. You look at, see, woman, you know, has a greater way of expressing their feeling, their emotion than men. You know, and one of them is Mary of Bethany. Here is this amazing woman. We know that her story appears in the three Gospels. You know, and of all the last few days of Jesus, Jesus decided to spend his time with Mary of Bethany. This is the place that Jesus went, and he decided to go to the house of Mary, which is also the place where Martha and Lazarus stay. When Jesus and the disciple came to the house, look at the way they were received, you know, and because Jesus knew that whenever he goes to this house, he will experience acceptance, and they are devoted to him, and they are not afraid to think or to say what other people may think or say about them. So when they came to Jesus, the Bible tells about this Mary Magdalene that came and she broke the apostle box, that sweet perfume, and poured on Jesus Christ. Of course, the other disciple, and he has to be man, using the brain. Why the waste? What the waste? Let me tell you, a healthy soul is able to express love for Jesus. We all have feelings. Who got no feelings? Come on. If you got no feelings, let me take a needle and poke you and see whether you got feelings or not. We all have got feelings. But the trouble that maybe we grew up where our parents tell us, don't cry. Where our parents tell us, you should not express your feeling. You know that, right, sister? And we grew up with that feeling being shut up, being so... it's so bought up. But we do not know that in Jesus Christ, all this bondage is broken. Say amen to that. That Jesus came not just to save your body, but also to save and to renovate your soul, and also to save your spirit. That Jesus came and he do something inside us so that we are able to express our love for Jesus Christ. You know, in the church, we have Mary, we have Martha, and we have Lazarus. Martha is always busy serving. You know, Lazarus is enjoying Jesus' presence, only want to receive. But Mary is the one that is generous in her love for Jesus Christ. Mary served like Lazarus enjoyed, but Mary expressed her love for Jesus Christ. I pray that this morning, when in the time of worship, that you are not afraid to express. You are not afraid to let your emotion, your feeling of love for Jesus Christ flow out of you, that you don't become a bottle that is bottled up. Looking at the left, looking at the right, what will people think about me? Look, we are all here together for only one purpose, to worship and to glorify Jesus. Sometimes we held back because we are afraid. We are afraid that our expression for Jesus, what will others say about us? But for Mary, the presence of others, including the 12 disciples, they became apostles. Even her close brothers and sisters, Martha and Lazarus, did not stop her from expressing her love for Jesus. I pray that when we come to the worship service, that we will not become a sealed apostle box, but we will be broken out in emotion so that our feeling for God, so that our praise, our worship for God will be a sweet and fragrant sacrifice to the Lord. The God who is so generous to us, that we will be generous when it comes to time of praise and worship. God is a pourer. He poured his love to us. He poured his all to us. He's not a dripper. A bit here, a bit there, a drop here, a drop there. He's generous towards us. And when we are generous towards him, the world takes notice of us. If we are not generous about Jesus Christ, why should the world be generous about him? Mary, Paul, generously to God. A healthy soul expressed love. Husband and wife, if you cannot express love to one another, you need help. Parents, if you cannot express love to your children, you need help. And the only person that can help you is the love of God that's shed upon your heart in the Holy Ghost. He can do something that may shock you if you allow Him to. I was a man with very little feelings. I was brought up with very little touch and very little feeling. That was what I was. When I came to Australia, and I see parents who send their children to school, how they hug them and kiss them before they go to class. It was a culture shock to me. It was something that I had never received. And one thing about life, if you never have it, how can you give it unless you feed it? You know. And so I had always asked my wife, bring the children to school, because I cannot have that expression. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ changed this heart, this bottled up man. Jesus Christ changed me. And now I can hug my children, I can hug my grandchildren very happily. Now I'm looking for hug. And because sometimes we can become so tight. Right on, sister. Life is should not be like that, right? Amen. So we need to become a healthy soul that express our love. The other thing about a healthy soul from Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, is that a healthy soul is able to rise above criticism. People will criticize us. Don't you know that? People will criticize. That sometimes people have nothing good to say, yet they want to say. So criticism will happen. You do good, people criticize you. You don't do, they also criticize you. You do, they also criticize you. So if you are afraid of criticism, you are in trouble. But a healthy soul doesn't care if people criticize. You see, Mary recognized that what she did was to who? Was to Jesus. What she did was to Jesus. And so when the other disciples look at her, and even the treasurer, what a waste. She didn't care. If you want to be a healthy soul, you got to raise above criticism. Because what does criticism do? Criticism put you into the box. Criticism will squeeze you, and very soon it will squeeze the life out of you. Are you afraid of criticism? If you are doing something good, if people criticize you, care less about it. Say amen. And so a healthy soul is able to rise above criticism. Jesus used a woman to show a room full of men, because a woman has the capacity to feel and to show the emotion. Look at the book of the gospel. Whose name is recorded? The woman. Mary. Not the disciples. And I want you to recognize this. When you express your love for Jesus Christ, when you are not afraid of criticism, God remembers more important than what people say. So a healthy soul is important. The other thing about the other woman in the Bible is Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to verse 47, and here, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, after a long journey, you know, she is born to be tired and to be weary, yet she say, you know, in verse 46, my soul do magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in the Lord. A healthy soul is able to magnify the Lord. What is to magnify? To magnify is to make a thing, make it bigger, you know. And you, how do you magnify? You magnify with the faculty of your imagination, reasoning, memory, affection. You magnify with your what you say, you know. See, the devil will magnify small things and make you worry. The devil will magnify and bring bondage to your soul. But when the healthy soul is touched by Jesus Christ, set free by Jesus Christ, the healthy soul renewed by the Spirit of God is able to magnify and will be able to take the things of God and make it bigger and bigger and bigger, because God is greater than our problem. God is greater than our need. You know, what is our need compared to who God is, His ability, because He can meet every need. And we are commanded to speak to the mountains and not to magnify the mountains. Say amen. Last night, if you were here, the Bible said to the mountains, you don't talk. To the mountains, you speak grace and grace, blessing and blessing. It's always saying something that is different from what is happening. You see, it's very easy for us to see trouble and speak trouble. It's very easy for us to see fear and speak fear and agree with the negative. But to magnify the God is to be able to accept who God is into our heart. And when we see fear, we speak something greater than fear, and that is God. When we see problem, we speak something greater than problem, and that is what? Is God. So the Bible said the healthy soul is able to magnify God. And I want to encourage you today, boast of God, magnify God. God is greater than what you can think or imagine. But if your mouth don't want to magnify God, that means you make God what? Small. Let's make God big. So a healthy soul is able to magnify God. And you know that to magnify God is not something that is automatic. Most time when things happen, what the thing come out of the mouth? Always not so good. The negative. First thing to come out. How many of you realize that? To magnify God means when things it doesn't work out, the first thing that come out of our mouth is, praise the Lord! Amen! God, this is great. Yeah, I'm going to see the victory. I'm going to see your deliverance. I'm going to see your help. I'm going to see how great you are, God. That my mouth will declare that I will not die, but I will live to declare the glory of God. That's how you magnify God. Because most time, our mouth will speak, agree with the negative. So you are supposed to magnify who? Magnify God. You need a healthy soul to magnify God. So, let me give you three keys. Three keys to develop a healthy soul. First key, decide to cry when it's appropriate. The Bible tells there is a time for what? Everything. A time to live, a time to die. A time to laugh, a time to what? To cry. There's a time for everything. And of course, when you go to somebody's birthday, don't cry. When you go to somebody's wedding, don't cry. Unless you are the mother crying because you are losing your daughter, giving your daughter away. But the father never cry. The father laugh because it's cheaper. Go, you know. And so there's an appropriate time in our life when the Spirit of God touches us. It's expensive when you are a daughter, you know that. Now, it is appropriate when the Spirit of God touch us and we want to cry. 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 People may not understand why you cry, but of course when you cry, cry in appropriate. Don't frighten people. You can cry. Open to God, allowing His Spirit to touch you. You know, last night when we were singing some of the songs here, oh, I love that song. Cover, the grace cover me. Actually, I just wept in tears because I experienced the grace of God. Oh, it's so wonderful to know grace is God's divine influence. That His touch over my heart. Wow. Making it soft. Removing all the hurts, the wounds, the bitterness. We accumulate a lot of rubbish. We accumulate them. And sometimes we are not careful, we become a rubbish bin. We take everything people say. We take it into heart and it really whack this place. But I'm telling you that last night, the grace of God just... You want a healthy soul? When it's appropriate to cry, cry. That's how you become a healthy soul. Because the Bible tells us there's a time and there is a season for everything. David was a man who knew how to pour to God. His tears flow to God because God touched him. David cried to God in Psalm chapter 6, verse 6. I water my couch with my tears. In Psalm 42, verse 3, my tears has been my meat. Psalm 56, verse 8. But put thou my tears into a bottle. Are they not in thy books? Oh, there is an appropriate time to cry. Don't hold back. Let tears flow because it creates a good and a healthy soul. Secondly, you want to have a healthy soul, mix with people with a healthy soul. It is very important. You mix with complainer, you become a complainer. You mix with grumbler, you become a grumbler. You mix with those that sing, you also sing. Mix with people with a healthy soul. You know, we live in a world where people are cynical, critical. They have lost their sense of humor. You know, and sometimes when you mix with this type of people, it dampens your spirit, it dampens your soul, and it kills you. Find people like David, who knows how to have a healthy soul. Mix with people like me. I'm a happy man. Mix with people like Pastor Kara. You cannot laugh, go and see Pastor Kara, you will laugh. Everything, she's so happy. And I mean, you got to mix around with the right people. If you mix with a person every time sad, you also be sad. You mix with a person always time angry, you also be angry. Mix with the right people. And whose choice and whose decision to mix is yours. Nobody force you to go and mix with a gossiper or mix with a negative person. Nobody force you. Mix with the right people, you get the energy, because when you mix with people, you are drawing something out of them. How many realize that? How many realize that? When you mix with someone who is very negative, after that, they go, you feel yourself, wow, my leg is also soft. I'm so tired. This person takes so much out of me. Have you ever experienced that before? People suck from you. People draw from you. So go and mix with someone. Someone that when you mix with them, wow, you can feel the love of God. You can feel the grace of God. You can feel the strength of God. You can feel the faith of God. You can feel the hope of God. So that when you live, cool, I'm cha-cha. See? You want to have a healthy soul? Mix with people with a healthy soul because they will rub on you. The third thing to build a healthy soul is learn to enjoy. Enjoy what? Oh, if I have $1 million, I will be very enjoying. If I have this, if I have that. You want to have a healthy soul? Learn to enjoy the simple things of life. Life has become so complicated that simple thing does not thrill us anymore. Gone are the days where children play with marbles, catch spider, run on the road. Gone are those days. Now they need an iPad, an iPhone, they need this, and they need all the electronic things to keep them happy. Gone are those days. Parents, teach your children to enjoy the simple things of life. And for us, we also need to enjoy the simple things of life. You know, when you look at creation, His greatness, the creativeness of God, how can you look at creation without a feeling of who God is? Enjoying the simple thing. Sometimes you just need to go for a walk and look at the flowers, the trees, the birds singing, the bees flying. Not the fries. I mean, these are the simple things of life. How many realize that? It's a simple thing. You know, when you are happy, bread with water is okay. When you're not happy, you can have even lobsters and prawns. You can't eat. The simple things of life. Let's learn to enjoy the simple things of life. Amen? And you need to learn to enjoy the simple things of life, because it is so important to enjoy the simple things of life. I start the message to challenge you to love God with your whole being. That includes your emotion. When you are a healthy soul, you are a happy person in God. My question to you this morning, are you a healthy soul? Has there been things in your heart that needs to be released? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, to heal the brokenhearted, to those that are disappointed, those that are hurt, those that are bruised, those that are downtrodden. Jesus said, my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, my grace is here to set you free so that you can become emotionally healthy.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.